So this is about what I'm planning to do, what I would like to speak about. A few words on existential analysis, then meaning something was already said, to focus on inner consent and the access to find meaning on this will be the principal part of this presentation. Then we will have some specific looks at meaning, existential meaning, and some final reflections. Phenomenological approach, I said, existential analysis, what does it mean to really be myself in my family, in my work, in my life? And how can this come to a good dialogical exchange? This is the focus of the existential analysis, and I think it has some good similarities with the British way of existential analysis. This focusing of phenomenology, which means put aside all knowledge, all interpretation even, in difference to what we heard before, or put aside all biography, all associations, in difference to psychoanalysis. Be open and let's touch yourself. The aim is to help people to come to inner consent. This is how we can define existential analysis of Vienna style. We are much person-centered, very close to Mick was once in Vienna and we had a seminar together. He said, existential analysis as we do and the Rogerian approach are so close, and this is true, we are very close. We focus on what I can do and to come to a fulfilling existence means that I have to give my yes to what I do or I have. If I find a yes, then there I can really be. I can really exist. I can come to a full development, to a flourishing. What is meaning? We are confronted with questions, our clients' questions. What is the meaning of life, the meaning in life, the meaning of this situation, the meaning of the suffering? What is purpose, the purpose of what I do? All these questions have a specific topic. We want to have something in hand. We want to know something. Meaning is that we want to have an information. So meaning is looking at the content. What is the meaning of what I do now? For me it is to make it most clear to you what this concept, how this concept could be understood, and to come into a discussion. And the meaning is fulfilled when I have the experience that you could start doing something with what I'm presenting. You don't have to be convinced or take it over. This is what I see as being the good in what I try to do. So when we search for meaning, we always want something graspable, something real in hand. Not a construct, not an idea. No. It must be tangible, otherwise it's not firm enough to support our existence. This content, this is what for. This what for I'm doing it is a felt value. In our perspective, meaning is always connected with value. You will see it throughout the presentation. In English, meaning is a difficult concept. I experience again and again that there are big differences between the Anglo-Saxon understanding of meaning and the, let's say, the rest of the European system. if we dare say something still nowadays to Anglo-Saxons, we would say, meaning, as Truman already said, is Meinung, is an opinion. Meaning is very cognitive. It is the understanding, the meaning of this word, the meaning of a term, the meaning of an action is how I understand it. So this refers also to a content. Purpose is in use in the Anglo-Saxon world, but purpose is a biased form. But purpose is also the trick, the goal in itself. Purpose is a direction towards something. And a direction towards the content. If there is only purpose, it is goal orientation. Franklin always said, after his long experience, he has been 80 times in the United States for lecture tours, he said, the best way to denominate what we understand is meaning in German or in French or Italian and so, is to say purpose and meaning together, because purpose brings in the line of the direction, and to correct the idea of having a goal in mind, you must say your understanding of this direction. This direction, the understanding is the meaning and the value you have in place. So purpose and meaning are correcting each other. And by putting purpose, it's not only an opinion about something or a cognitive experience. Frank was, of course, very experienced in this sensational problem. But he never or rarely used the term sense. But we say so often, it makes no sense. In German, we say, es macht keinen Sinn. It's the same word. And sense is a very important term. I would suggest that we use more the term sense than meaning, because meaning is misleading to a too much cognitive understanding of the content. Sense is what I sense, what I grasp. This is sensual. This is much closer to the human being, to the individual. And when I sense something, when I say this makes no sense, then it's not obvious. It's not. I don't see the value of that content. So, and sense is the term of the Roman languages and the German languages, sentido, senso, le sens, sin. And this says, sense is, Victoria already spoke about it, it means Sinan in Old German, in about 1200, meant going along the way. This is the original term. And from Latin it's sentire, as he points out, but in German was a word between. Meaning, as our clients use it, has the aspect of a content, but also a practical aspect. I don't find a meaning. This means I cannot connect with the situation. And so we can put as a formula, and this is the content of my presentation. After this, you can go for a coffee. The rest is just explanation. To live with inner consent. When I live with an inner consent, then I am connecting in a deeper way with my reality. And meaning is a cliff between myself and the reality. Meaning means to bring together my being in the world with myself. I give these explanations because meaning is a too precious concept to just give a cookbook on finding meaning. If we don't understand, if we do not have this personal access to it and this needs an understanding, then we do not justice to the suffering or the pain of ourselves or our clients. Why is inner consent something which contributes to find meaning? What does this mean to have inner consent? This is the inner consent. When I give consent, this means I agree. I said yes to something. And when I live with inner consent, when I'm speaking now with inner consent, this means that inwardly I feel I say yes to what I do. And this is an expression of my personal freedom, very practically, very on the experiential level. This yes is not false. From where does it come? How does this appear? It is a felt yes, and therefore the term consent, sentiment, the sentiments which go together, is a very good term. In German, Zustimmung, die Stimmung. The inner yes has four elements. The inner yes is complex. The inner yes means this accept is going into a situation, but this includes several elements. If the yes appears by itself, it looks so easy. But if we have complications, then we have to go deeper and to see the structure which is behind this yes. A yes to speaking here means accepting the conditions. After lunch, heavy condition. We have to deal with it. Turning towards the values. So, is this interesting at all? If I don't see or feel a value in that, what we are doing here, how could I say yes? Seeing my own and what is right, does this correspond to what is me, what I'm working for, what matters me? Maybe I'm more a sportsman, and is it right, or should I do a siesta now? Would that be better? And finally, to see myself in a greater context and in the future, that something can develop out of it, when there's nothing which can raise, come out. How could I say yes? I want to do something just for nothing. So I must have at least an idea, an inkling, a feeling of this, of not, is the good afterwards. The greater context for what I'm doing, for my future, for my clients, etc. Personal meaning. Where is meaning located in the area of, in the framework of existence? Is meaning the center of existence? How does meaning relate to existence? Meaning, existence, to exist means more than just fulfill meaning. Of course, we can always find some meaning in what we do, but existence means first sleeping and eating, etc. Of course we can say it is meaningful, but it is also more purposeful, or it's more a need, you know. So existence has to deal with many more facets and not only meaning. And the following should show that, how it is linked together. The four fundamental realities are these, as we had before, it's the same system, this connection with the world. This has some great similarities to Emmy's picture which Paul Long showed before, but it is quite different. It is not the same. It looks like. This is close to the person, my relation to the world, the facts, the possibilities, finding the truth. And another fundamental reality which I have to deal with is not only to be in this world, but also to live. I'm alive, which means everything is changing. I'm growing and becoming older, and I have to deal with being alive. And alive, being alive means I am in constant relationships, and I have feelings, and I have to deal with values. And being oneself means nobody is like me. I am different. I'm autonomous, responsible, I'm a person. And the wider context is the becoming. Through the wider context is this, this is the area where meaning arises, where what for my activities go, what they are intended or tend to, which is more than just being in the moment, this is transcendent to the moment. My engagement is a contribution to a future. Here you see that these three first dimensions are very much rooted in the subject, in me. The wider context is this looking around into my horizon and to look what this horizon speaks to me, tells me. And therefore, Frankl put a key for discovering meaning, existential meaning. And he said, we have to do a turn to not only looking into the world through our perspective, by looking what does it give to me, what is it helpful, is that helpful for my goals, what are my interests. This is only one part. This is only has to do with the upper part, with these three elements. My world, my life, my being, myself. But now, here there is like a distinction. Now we have to turn around and to open up and to lift up our heads and look into the world and look at, is there anything from the world, from others, from you? In Frankl, it's only the world, the outside, which comes up to me and bringing up a question. The question like, what are you going to do with me? Is this something important for you? So the human being is always questioned by the situation. And every question forces us to give an answer. Whenever we realize, when we become aware that we are asked, whatever we do is an answer. We cannot escape answering when we see ourselves questioned. So our task is to find, to first understand the question of the situation. Like here, the question of the situation is for you trying to understand, maybe to bring up some questions, and then to respond by doing, to give the answer by thinking, or maybe you say, oh, I know this, or I have a little map, so it's okay. To give my answer to the respective situation, from situation to situation, from minute to minute, the meaning is changing according to what the horizon in which I am is asking me. And when there is a fire coming up here, it would not be the question to continue the presentation. The response would be to go out from the room and to save one's life. So meaning is a highly adaptable concept, and nothing fixed, not the goal which we have in mind. So whatever comes up to me from the outside, and finally restricted it to the outside, we don't do it anymore, we say also from the inner world coming up to me, I have to process it, I must take a position. I have to find my answer, or I'm just reacting. If I let react myself, this is also an answer by saying, I'm not caring for it. I let it over, it comes. the practice itself. According to these fundamental, these four fundamental thoughts. And you see that the fourth dimension here is the world. In any, it is the spiritual world. Here it is broken down to the world. The bigger context is my spiritual world, where I have to find the logos, which is a spiritual task, to find out what is the meaning, what is asked, what is the question. This is a spiritual world. I have to find out what really matters in that moment. And beyond this, in all dimensions, you have a spiritual world. Not only in one. You have in all four dimensions in that spiritual world. This is, for instance, one difference we have to discuss. Practical steps. Work with inner consent means first element. This, I am in this world with these conditions. So I have to look, or I should look, at my capacities and possibilities. What am I capable? What can I do? This, what I can, what I'm able. And what is there where it is needed, where it is possible to apply it? So I can't play piano, but I can't play piano here. There is no possibility, although there is my capability. We have to bring them together. This is a first step of finding meaning, to come to a congruence with the reality. I cannot create a piano. I have to adapt to the situation. And the piano is an easy example. There are so many more difficult, painful, suffering situations where I am asked to look at what am I really able to do. This is really the meaning, this great concept, meaning of life, and whatever you may think. Break it down to the micro situation, micro meaning, micro situation, to the actual moment, and to assess and to check what is possible. And what can I do? And to check my power. Because sometimes I'm too tired. I can play piano, but sometimes I'm too tired. The prerequisite, this is something which often needs great work for people who suffer from meaninglessness. This is, of course, something.
No possibilities.
So, this was an example which I included to show you of the first dimension of existence. And it will take some time until the beamer which heats up. Okay, acceptance means that this is work which we have often to do more in the psychotherapeutic field than in the counseling. In the counseling, for counseling we best use, or for coaching we best use the meaning finding method which I presented yesterday, which you can listen to in the audio. But when the problems are deeper, then you find this personal meaning, not just the situational meaning. The personal meaning, when people suffer from that, it's better to go into these four steps. But they are deeper, and they need more time. And then, in the first dimension, we most often have to work on the acceptance issue. To accept what is really there, to accept that I have a problem with my partner, to accept that I have a difficult boss with whom it's hard to collaborate, to accept that I have a flu, to accept that I have a cancer, to accept what is given, what is there, to accept my reality. And what does it mean to accept? To accept means simply to let it be. I can let it be. But it has a reason why I can let it be. All I can let be something only when I experience that it lets me be. It doesn't kill me. To be or not to be is the question here. To accept in the ontological sense means simply this letting be. To accept my partner means he can be as he is. How difficult. Especially when he or she lets the toothpaste open every day. These are very difficult questions. And the socks, yeah. This needs courage, inner strength, power, sometimes support that we can accept. A coach, a therapist, a counselor gives support in this, and it allows trust. Trust is a big theme, of course, but it goes too far. The second element which we need, according to that second dimension, to the life dimension, to that value dimension, is that we are emotional beings. Because we are living, we feel our life. The English is not good in that point, we have only experience. In German we have two words, erleben und erfahren. Experience, erleben means felt experience. And so, to experience with my feelings, my situation, to connect emotionally. And for this it is important to work with people on that, what they like. To find meaning is to accept and to look at what I am able, but then what do I like? If I do not refer to what I like, I'm not living my life. And when my life is not contained in what I do, it is empty. It is not life worthy. We are asked to live a full life. What do I feel as being worthy? The prerequisite is to come closer, to really turn towards your child. Turn towards your work. When you don't feel or see a meaning, turn towards it. It may hurt. It may produce a grief process. Turning towards something negative, to a loss, produces grief. But it is necessary. Without this process, you cannot connect your life with what you do, and without connecting my life with what I'm doing, it's empty. We look at the inner resonance. How does it touch me? What do I feel? What does it stimulate in me? I let come inside. I take time. I open up my attention. I take time for it, and I let come close with what I am occupied. If I'm not able to do that, later on I feel it as meaningless. Or my life becomes meaningless. Because meaninglessness tells me something essential is lacking in what you are doing and how you are living. Of course we can remain distant, separated, and this gives cold feelings. The turning towards is caring for the relationships and to look what life makes valuable. The third is connecting with my interests and ethics. What may I do? What is allowed? What corresponds to me? What is essential to me? what is right there. And this brings up ethics and authenticity. So when I do something which is not really correct, I will not experience it as meaningful. So hedonistic meanings, they are nice if they are correct. Say, I feel that I do the right thing. Otherwise, they will lead into meaningless. Prerequisite is to have a look at, to look closer at, to separate from others, to draw borders, to define my own, to sensing what is the right for me personally, and to set back prejudices, and not to try to manipulate, not even myself. It will lead to meaninglessness. And then I can encounter others and situations authentically, with my real self, the one who I am. The fourth is transcending one's life, looking at the greater context. What is the horizon in which I am when I do this? With the question, what should I do? This is calling me. I should write this paper now. I should see my mother and call her. I feel it. The situation is asking, claiming, or I ought even. And this means to go into the future, to the future of the next hour or the next day. But this it needs a tuning, with an accordance with the situation. The prerequisite is dialogical exchange, openness for what is needed or offered, or what are good opportunities, values which I can make use of. We can put it on a, or sum it up with such a table, that existence, that what I really want to do, the inner consent, the will, is on the four legs of I can, I like, I may, and I should. And I have a criterion if I live a full existence, inner fulfillment. When I live with inner consent, I get something back. I feel inwardly fulfilled. This is a deep form of happiness. Specifically saying, existential meaning, this was Frankl centrally saying, is fulfilled through the realization of values. And the difficult concept is that meaning is like a signpost towards value. The difficult concept of meaning can be understood as something which shows the direction. Therefore, the purpose has some value in it. Frankl's main roads to existential meaning, he speaks about the three categories of values, experiential, creative, and attitudinal values. The dialogical exchange is basis in existential analysis, and to come to terms with these processes, with the process we describe, to look at the me as a person, how I am connected inwardly, what resonates there, and how I'm connected outwardly, I'm always in both worlds together at the same time, continuously. And it is defined as a valuable task, meaning, existential meaning, a valuable task or challenge or possibility in my actual life. And the purpose and insight for to open up for others. Meaning is an opening process, the individual, to really be in that world and to become more myself. By doing that, by dialoguing with the world, I experience more who I am. I get myself back in the face of the other, in the reactions of the world. And to transcend the time, the moment, what we did now, is not for now, it is for the future. It should become valuable or fruitful tomorrow or with our clients in our life. This was the phrase which was often cited. I read it in Nietzsche. In Nietzsche, it's hardly to understand that it was a great achievement of Franklin to put it in such simple words, but it grasps exactly the content. So, thank you.